even though you may have hundreds of thousands of dollars of equity tied up, you know, in your home, or hundreds of thousands of dollars of wealth, the only way you can access that is by becoming deeper and deeper, or going deeper and deeper into debt.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Matt Sullivan is the founder and CEO of Quantum RE, a company that is making home equity accessible, investable, and tradable. He's a serial entrepreneur and has established companies operating in the UK, Europe, India, Australia, and the US across a wide range of sectors, including telecommunications, software development, finance, sustainability, and environmental asset management. He worked directly with Richard Branson on a number of Virgin projects and was a director and trustee of Virgin's London Air Ambulance. Matt, welcome to the show.
Sam, thanks for having me on.
Man, that's a wide bio you've got there with a diverse background.
I'm quite old, so I've had a chance to do a few things. You know,
I love it, man. I love it. I'm excited to jump in today. You know, obviously, want to talk about Quantum RE and find out what that is all about, especially as it relates to the ever-present and very hot topic blockchain and how that works with tokens and all that stuff.
Maybe yeah.
Dig into that, sure. And then hear a little bit more about your story. But before we do any of that, if you don't mind, just give our listeners the same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show. Quickly, where did you start? Where are you now? How did you get there?
Well, I really started off, I'm originally from the UK. My first job, I suppose, leaving university was in insurance, moved into stockbroking. So in the late 80s, if there's anyone alive that can remember those, I was broking the Far East markets. So that's Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, and Thailand. So I would be regularly out in the Far East. The people I worked with, we split off and set up a small corporate finance company. We wrote a letter to Richard Branson saying, we own a hot air balloon. Why don't you fly around the world? It's the last great adventure. And he said, yes. So I had a few years of working closely with Richard. And then in the late 90s, I split up and or sort of headed off to do my own entrepreneurial thing. So I've been an entrepreneur really for 25 years, something like that, which really means that I'm, you know, systemically unemployable. So I've been involved in, you know, telecommunications and finance and really platforms. So I was one of the very, you know, early people involved in the internet when it first began to gather steam in the late 90s and early 2000s. I moved to the US about 8 years ago, 8 years ago. One of the first things I did was set up a real estate crowdfunding company. So hot on the heels of the Jobs Act, I was one of the first, along with half a dozen other companies, to set up a platform that enabled people to invest in real estate projects that otherwise they wouldn't have been able to. And really that's desire and knowledge to sort of build platforms and join real estate and technology has led me to Quantum RE, which we founded almost 4 years ago now. And Quantum RE is a real estate company that helps homeowners unlock the equity in their home without taking on more debt. It creates a marketplace to trade that equity. So it's something where I am still hugely excited about even today. So 4 years on, it's one of those things that you know, magically or thankfully, I've been able to find that makes me jump out of bed in the morning.
That's amazing. I love the idea of platform creation where you build the container and everybody else basically fills it in when it comes to, you know, crowdfunding and things like that. You guys aren't handling the real estate. You are handling the crowdfunding sourcing of that or the sourcing of that of the funds for that real estate. And I think the idea of Quantum RE is really a fascinating one. Break it down for us. I know you said it allows people to unlock the equity in their home. What does that even mean?
Well, there's a concept of being house rich and cash poor. And I think that's something that is even more prevalent now because we've seen in the last 12 to 18 months significant house price appreciation. So the equity in your home is the amount of the property that you own after you've paid the bank back.
Sure.
So you know, as, and I think most people know this, that the longer you have your mortgage, you pay the mortgage down, your house goes up in value. So you're building equity, but equity is a bit of a misnomer. It doesn't really mean anything. What you've actually got is your personal wealth. And for most people, the bulk, you know, like, you know, 80, 90% of their wealth tends to be locked up in the value of the home equity. And so the biggest problem is, how do you get your hands on that? Now, in the commercial world, in commercial real estate, of course, which we, you know inside out, there's all sorts of ways of financing properties. You can have different types of debt. So your junior debt, senior debt, and mezzanine, and there's all sorts of different types of equity funding. So there are people that will buy preferred equity, or they'll provide or a shared appreciation mortgage, which is a combination of debt and equity. But in residential homes, there's no way for people to access their equity or for people to invest in that equity. So as a homeowner, the only thing you can do is go to the bank or a financial institution and borrow more money that is secured against your equity. So even though you may have hundreds of thousands of dollars of equity tied up, you know, in your home, or hundreds of thousands of dollars of wealth, the only way you can access that is by becoming deeper and deeper, or going deeper and deeper into debt, right, which seems, you know, it's counterintuitive, and it's not a very satisfactory result. Right. So what we do is we take a more commercial approach, and we've created instruments or agreements that allow the homeowners to unlock their equity. We are investors, not lenders. So we invest in the ability or the potential for the home to appreciate in value. So we don't get paid by charging interest, because we don't lend any money. We get paid if your house goes up in value and you sell it, we get a share of that appreciation. So we're taking a very different approach. And there are an enormous number of benefits to that approach to the homeowner.
That's really intriguing. I love the comparison between commercial and residential, because you're right. It's something I've never really thought about, was how in a commercial transaction, we could have preferred equity. We have several different stacks of equity. Then we have debt. Then we've got all these different ways that our capital stack is made up.
Absolutely.
In order to own a property. But in residential, it's just not there. So walk us through how that works from both. Let's start on maybe the homeowner side of things. How does it work for them?
Well, again, let's talk about the problem that we're solving and why would a homeowner want to do this. And again, we have three main types of customers. And we have people who cannot borrow money. Now, they may not be able to borrow money for a number of reasons. They don't have the income. They have a credit report that doesn't meet the requirements of the lender, or other types of personal sort of, you know, history that prevents them from borrowing money. We then have people who don't want to borrow money. So imagine you've got a retiree or someone who's spent their life paying off their mortgage, mm-hmm. finds themselves in a position where they don't have enough capital yet. They just don't want to go back into debt. And the third group of customers or homeowners are people that see the equity in their home as an asset where they're heavily overexposed, and they just want to find a way of diversifying out of that into other types of investments, so all their eggs are not in the same proverbial basket. And so that's the problem. So from a homeowner's perspective, what we're saying is, as you rightly said earlier, here is a way that is used every day of the week with commercial transactions. We are applying the same methodologies, but we're making it available to a $23 trillion asset class, which is the equity in owner-occupied homes. And the way it works, it's an option agreement. We don't go on title as owners. We don't own or have any rights over your property. It's an obligation that you sign with us in exchange for an investment from us, where a share of the appreciation of the property goes to us in exchange for that investment. So we make our money, and as I said earlier, not by charging interest, but by betting that your house is going to go up in value, which is the nature of an equity investment. And we have a pre-agreed share of that appreciation when you sell your home.
That's fascinating. Obviously, I guess each market you would have to have figured out what you guys are willing to do percentage wise, but is there a general rule of thumb where you say, okay.
Yeah. The contracts are standardized. So in other words, there are minimum LTVs and maximum LTVs. And what we work with, everything we do is based on the value of the home. So we don't, you know, we're not concerned about how much equity you have. It's really the value of the home. And we have another term, which is combined lien to equity. So our agreements are protected by a lien on title. So we're not going in as an owner, but the agreements that we have are very similar in the language to a trust deed. But it's not a trust deed because obviously there's no loan. So we refer to it as a performance deed of trust. So if you add the amount of existing loan that you have on your home, so existing mortgage, add the HELOCs, add any other silent seconds you may have, and you add that to the amount that we could invest, those two together must be no more than around 75% of the current value of the home. So that means that after everything, you still own 25%. Now, we can go a little bit higher in California, but the average rule, you know, the rule of thumb across most of the states where we operate is between 72.5% and 75%. Right. So we don't end up in a position where all of the equity is gone and the homeowner feels that they're disenfranchised. They still own at least 25% of the equity in the home.
Is there a timeline, you know, that someone has to then, like, is there a pre-agreed upon disposition timeline? Or is it, hey, you hold this in perpetuity, whenever you want to sell it, you sell it, and that's the way it goes?
Yeah, and there are timelines, and there are different flavors, different durations. There are some agreements that last for 10 years, so they are self-liquidating after 10 years. There are agreements that run for 30 years. The way the sharing ratios are calculated is slightly different between the 10-year and the 30-year agreements. But they're all agreements that have let's take the 30-year agreement as an example. That means that you have use of that investment capital for up to 30 years with no monthly payments. And they're not stacking up behind the scenes like they would be with a reverse mortgage. Because remember, this is an equity investment. So we only know how much you owe us at the time that you decide to sell your home or buy back the agreement.
Right. And that was going to be my question is what's the exit strategy for the we're going to call it the borrower or the homeowner. What's the exit strategy? So they can buy back the agreement, which I would imagine would then be some sort of appraisal percentage.
Yes.
You guys are going to have to make your money.
Yes. And
if you loaned them, keep it easy numbers, but if you loaned them, whatever, the numbers are irrelevant, but 10 grand a day, but then that 10 grand is worth 25 grand in equity 10 years from now, then you guys, they owe 25,000 10 years from now.
Yes. And you're right. We go in based on a third party appraisal. And if the home is sold on an arm's length basis. In other words, if it's sold in the way that people normally sell their homes, then we'll take the value of the sale. If it's a non-arm's length, in other words, if you're selling the property to your brother-in-law for discount, then we'll get an appraisal. But we use independent valuations when we actually go into the agreement. That allows us to fix the value of your home and start the clock ticking at that point. And then if you want to buy us back, then, you know, as you rightly say, you know, the appraisal, the third party independent valuation comes in, and that determines the exit value. And we then calculate, you know, how much of the upside is ours and how much is the homeowner's.
Right. That's fascinating. Let's look at this, unless you want to take this a different direction, but let's look at this from the investor's standpoint. And maybe you can.
Exactly. So, and it has to work. And the great thing about this type of investment is it does work for both sides. So from a homeowner's perspective, we are solving a major problem. In other words, we're providing them with a capital source that previously was unavailable to them. So if they couldn't or didn't want to borrow money, here's an option. It doesn't suit everybody. You know, it's not for everyone, but for the people that want the money and want that equity type of structure, it's ideal for them. From the investor's perspective, the critical thing is it gives you access to homes that are not for sale. Now, remember, you're buying into the equity appreciation of homes that are owned and occupied by people that are outside of your, they're not your people. Owner occupiers, they're not renters. They're people that look after their home. And as you don't own the property, you haven't got any of the overhead associated with property ownership. You don't have to maintain it. You're not responsible for property taxes, for the debt. And also, the best steward of your investment is the owner, and not, you don't have the whole toilets, tenants, and trash issue. So from an investor's perspective, it's actually a very good way of getting into an untapped asset class, because if you can't invest into the equity, but now you can, that does open up a multi-trillion dollar marketplace. Also, most importantly, the way the agreement is structured, we talked about an option agreement earlier. It's an option agreement that has some built-in in-the-money elements. So when we work with homeowners and we agree the value of your home, we apply a discount at some point. Now, that discount can be applied through the contract in a number of different ways. But what it means, though, from the investor's perspective, is they are buying into an asset at a discount. And the reason the discount is there is because there is a risk that the property may not appreciate, right, or may, in fact, go down in value. And so that risk is mitigated by this in-the-money element. So the investor gets a share of the upside. And the final point is something that we refer to as structural leverage. The agreement, if you were to have a home that appreciated by 10%, then the investor wouldn't just get their pro rata share of that 10% appreciation. They get an enhanced or magnified share. And that really depends on the type of agreement. But normally, you're looking at about 2 to 3 times their share. So if they were to invest in 10% of the value of the home, they would get 25 or 30% of the upside. So you've got two things that are very attractive to investors. One is downside protection, and the other is structurally leveraged or enhanced returns. Now, all of that is very good because you're investing in an asset class that is, well understood. We have no issues with scalability. So in other words, we can provide you with lots of these types of investments. And it works for both people. So it works for the homeowner, provides them with access to capital with no monthly payments, no tax implications. From a homeowner's perspective, you can reduce your capital gains tax liability by the cost of our agreements, which you can't do with a loan. Now, I've just realized I've given you an immensely long answer to what was a very simple question. So hopefully, people haven't all jumped off in droves.
No, I think this is intriguing. I mean, let's stay on the investor topic here for a minute. I've just got a few questions. I mean, anytime, even if you're a bank or anybody that owns a piece of, I'm gonna call it a, you're a partner in the property. One way or the other, you're a partner in the property.
Yes.
Some of those things that are out of your control are gonna say, like, your first position liens. Let's say they go into foreclosure and it sells at the courthouse auction for pennies on the dollar. I've bought lots of those myself. Then what? What is this?
You're gonna lose money. You're an equity investor, so in that scenario, you lose money. But we don't want to get to that scenario. So, in other words, what we want to do is, in the underwriting process, make sure that we try and avoid that situation as far as possible. So, how do you do that? Yeah. First of all, you're investing in properties that have a very high likelihood of appreciation. So, we're investing in certain states that are handpicked. So we don't invest in the states where you're not likely to see that appreciation. Secondly, we're very careful who we work with. Now, I can give you some examples of people that, even though their credit score is fine, the equity that they had was perfect, when we go and look at their homes, we realize the homes are in a very poor state of repair. Right. So at that point, we don't want to partner with that person. So we're not saying that you have to jump through the eye of a needle, as it were. But we've had some homes that were in a quite an atrocious state of repair that only really came out when we did the home inspection. So we avoid those types of situations. And again, credit scoring gives us an indication of the likely behaviors of a person. But again, because this is an equity investment, we can be very flexible there. And also, we do tend to get people out of tricky financial situations rather than making them, you know, go in deeper. Right. Because our agreements are not loans. They can pay off expensive credit card debts. They can pay down loans. They can get themselves back in a position where they are less likely to find themselves having to be foreclosed. So there's all those things have to happen first. If, you know, through bad luck or poor, you know, circumstances that are beyond our control, you know, we are in that position. What we'll try and do is stave off the foreclosure by investing in the monthly repayments, because it's our investment too. So what we want is an orderly exit as opposed to a fire sale. So we're able to do that because of the, you know, the lien that we have. We have an interest in the property. Right. And so we're able to try and manage that process.
Right. Yeah. And you guys are going to get notified via the foreclosing, whoever it is.
The default notice. Exactly.
Yeah. You guys will get notified as a lien holder that, hey, we are foreclosing on.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting. I'm glad you brought up the disrepair comment, because that was my next highlighted question.
Yes.
What about disrepair? So we can check that off. Let's talk about the I'm going to switch here to your website and cheat a little bit, because you were talking about, I think at one point on your website, about using blockchain technology or tokens. And I am way yes. outside of my league when I even mention those two words. So maybe help us understand how this all ties together.
Well, then the thing about technology is you really want to be in a position where no one cares what technology you use.
Right.
So the words like blockchain and tokens, they become irrelevant to what effectively you're doing, which is solving a problem for investors. Now, when we use mobile phones, we don't talk about the fact that I'm speaking to you on a 4G or a 5G line, because, you know, who cares? Right. So at the moment, it's useful for us because it's a buzzword, and it makes one sort of pay a little bit more attention, and that's useful from a marketing perspective for everybody. But the way that we use blockchain technologies, the problem that it solves for an investor is, how do you exit these investments? If I invest in someone's home for 30 years, I do not want to be waiting around for 30 years potentially to get my money back.
Right.
You know, I want to have some liquidity. So we've built up an exchange, a marketplace that enables investors to trade or to sell their interests in these home equity agreements. So the home equity agreements are quite lumpy investments. They're $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 investments, up to $500,000 in some cases. So if you're a smaller investor, you want to be able to take bite-sized chunks of those. So we use blockchain technologies, which are very, very well suited to keeping track of lots and lots of transactions in a way that the system doesn't break. So if you use traditional databases, they tend to get unwieldy and expensive, and that there are single points of failure. Blockchain technologies tend to or are far more reliable, and you can't sort of fudge the numbers, as it were, because it leaves a trail. And so this technology is ideally suited to taking assets like ours, chopping them up into tiny pieces, allowing people to buy some of those tiny pieces and make small investments, allowing the ownership of those investments to change when people buy and sell them. And it keeps track of all of that in a way that anyone can go and see. Obviously, all of the privacy elements are stripped out, so no one knows who the people are. But it means that there's an audit trail that cannot be broken or cannot be interfered with. Now, so that serves two purposes. One, it builds this layer of trust, but also it means that there's more things you can do with our investments. You can trade them on our platform, and in the future, you'll be able to trade them on other platforms because they use that common technology. And so at the moment, we like to use the words, blockchain, because it does sort of, have that sort of marketing edge. But ultimately, what we really want is people to see the value of being able to invest in properties that are not for sale, build their own portfolios in areas that otherwise weren't accessible to them.
Right, man. That's I love that. And I wonder, even inside of this, making these tradable, making these investable. And this is where I turn, make a left turn here. But I mean, can you even use self-directed accounts and things like that then to invest in these assets?
Well, yeah, again, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to do that, because it obviously depends on the, you know, the nature of your self-directed IRA and what, in other words, what you can or cannot invest in. Sure. But these are securities. Right. So they are securities that are offered under various exemptions, Regulation D or Regulation A+. They're fractional ownership or fractional shares in an LLC. That LLC owns the home equity agreement. So what that means is we're following a pathway that is very similar to the way that other real estate investments are held. So there's no reason why, and we haven't approached the IRA companies because we really don't think there's any likely to be any sort of rational pushback. So the answer to is, I think it's a resounding yes.
Right. That's interesting. Lastly, let's finish up this talk on the investor side of things. How does someone invest in this asset via you guys?
Well, we have the Quantum platform is designed to offer homeowners the ability to unlock their equity. Right. And at the same time, there's another button you press if you're an investor, you create an account. We are weeks away from launching. So even though we've been working on this for some time, we are probably going to be live sometime in October with our first set of deals, because we've really needed a lot of work needed to happen with all of the infrastructure, the blockchain technologies and the regulatory approvals that sort of go with that. There's a bit of catching up that needed to be done. We were slightly on the bleeding edge when we started this. So we were sort of sitting there sort of drumming our fingers, waiting for the rest of the world to catch up.
There's nothing like dealing with regulators to test your patience and also make you wonder what in the world they're actually doing on the other end of the phone. So that's...
I couldn't possibly comment, other than the fact, yes, in case anyone's listening, that we are using existing structures. So we just needed to, funny, it wasn't the regulators, it was the fact that the blockchain technologies needed to be able to deliver functions that met the existing regulatory requirements. Mm. So it was really things like when you sell someone shares, if they lose their shares, they need to be able to phone you up and say, look, you know, I've lost my share certificates. Can you send me a new one? Or I've changed my address. And, you know, with blocks, a lot of blockchain smart contracts, you weren't able to do that. If I send you some cryptocurrency or something and you lose your wallet address, it's like, well, sorry, tough luck. Right. But you can't do that with security. So the blockchain smart contracts needed to be designed and tested and developed so that all of the requirements that were needed to meet securities regulations were met. That was the sort of delay.
Right. I can't imagine tackling that. That's impressive. Last and final question before we jump here into the final four. How did you dream this up?
It was a process of osmosis and attrition. So I went to a crowdfunding conference 6 or 7 years ago and heard someone talking about this concept of shared equity. And I went, God, that's really interesting, because, you know, having been a homeowner for many, many years, that's exactly what you want, because, you know, you don't want to have to go back to the bank. But then you start thinking, oh, hang on, who's going to invest in this? Because there's no cash pay, there's no liquidity. And the way the contracts were written then is kind of like, didn't work. But then you think about it a bit more and the world moves forward and then new technologies come along. So there was a point literally 4 years ago where we just said, look, you know, let's just work with the blockchain, because blockchain creates this ability to tokenize things. If you tokenize things, you can theoretically create liquidity. If you create liquidity, you can buy and sell this stuff. And that solves the problem of cash pay. It also solves the problem of being a very long-dated investment. So it wasn't this sort of aha moment. It was this constant sort of thinking, I love this investment class. How do we combine all of these different things to make it that's, you know, interesting to homeowners and interesting to investors.
That's intriguing. That's intriguing. I've loved learning about this, and I love just the thought process behind it. I mean, you know, you've answered and thought through, and I'm sure as you launch this and get it going, there'll be iterations along the way. But it seems like you guys have spent an incredible amount of time really digging into the details. And obviously, you had to, but getting this just nailed down right, you know, here pre-launch. This is super cool. I look forward to seeing.
Thank you. Now thank you for your kind words, Sam. But the investment side is the piece that's waiting to be launched. The homeowner side, we've unlocked millions and millions of dollars. So we're operating today. So if you are a homeowner and you've got too much equity, you know, we can help you out.
That's fantastic. Matt, I've really enjoyed this. Let's jump here to the final four questions. The first one is this. If I gave you just 20 grand to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
I would put it into I would let someone else manage the money for me. And I know that's not really the right answer to some respects, but if you try and throw money, in my experience, into real estate, what tends to happen is it becomes a very expensive learning curve. So why not use and leverage the experience and knowledge of other people, get less of a return, so don't be greedy, but listen and learn to how they invest. You'll get your money back with a return, but you'll also get something which is far more valuable, which is knowledge. And then you can use that knowledge to make more informed investment decisions.
Right. That's great. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Again, just thinking that it's like any investment, believing that you know what you're doing in the absence of research. Treat real estate investment like a job. Well, they say fools jump in where angels fear to tread. Just because it's a house, just because you live in a house, doesn't mean to say that you are an expert on residential real estate. So, you know, do your research, treat it like a job, treat it seriously, and imagine it's, you know, someone else's money who's going to get very upset and come around with baseball bats if you lose it.
Right. That's great. That's great. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Again, this is one of those very tricky questions, but, you know, I've got four young children. And, you know, if I can invest in them emotionally and whatever word ending in Lee that you want, and not completely screw it up, then, you know, that's the best investment for me.
100%. Couldn't agree with you more. Four kids. That's a house full, man. Good.
yes.
You. That's a full-time job. Last question, Matt, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, learn how to invest with you, what's the best way to do that?
Everything's on the website. So it's QuantumRE, QUANTMRE.com. We've got calculators there for a homeowner. If you want to find out how much equity you can unlock, you can register as an investor, and very soon you'll be able to start making investments in these. Very exciting, this new asset class. And there's tons of information and other, you know, podcasts and videos and articles that you can read, and digest to your heart's content.
That is awesome. Matt, thank you so much for your time today. This was fascinating. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.